Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. If this is your first time here, we'd like to welcome you. If during this time you need any support, you have any prayer requests, you'd like to connect with somebody, fill in our online connect card. We're more than happy to connect with you there, especially during this time. Before we begin, we have a few quick announcements for you. The first is about our KARPOS, our children ministry, and our youth ministry. We are planning to resume their online worship service in February, in the month of February. So we're going to welcome you if you are a parent to register your children or your youth for those online program. If you want more information, you can head to our website, english.mykec.ca, and you can go to the Next Generation tab and you'll be able to find more information about the specific age groups of your children or your youth. Or simply, you can email our children and youth pastor, Pastor Ava, at ava@koinoniachurch.ca. And you can message her, you can email her for more information there. Secondly, we'd like to let you know that the 2021 tax receipts, the tax donation receipts, will be sent out to you via email on February 16th. Our church admin would like to let you know that if your mailing address or your email address has changed, or if you'd like to request a hard copy of the tax receipt, please let us know. Let our church admin know by February the 1st. You can call in or email us, and that would be very helpful for us so that we can get you your tax receipt in the right address, or maybe even the physical copy or the email copy. And you can find how to contact us and our church admin again on our website, english.mykec.ca. In the last week of January, we're going to begin a brand new sermon series called When God. And in this series, we're really asking different variations of the same question. What do you do when God feels distant? What do you do when God seemingly doesn't cooperate, doesn't listen to your prayer? What do you do when God seems late? You know, honestly, we all face times like these, right? We all face times like these when God feels just so far away, and your prayers are unanswered, and maybe your circumstances go from bad and then to worse. And during these times, honestly, God feels distant. He feels like He doesn't care. He feels like He's distracted and He's not listening. And there are a couple remedies to this. Sometimes people will say, oh, you just gotta pray more. Or maybe you have heard people say, oh, you gotta have more faith. But our question is, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us about how we can go through these seasons? And how we're gonna do that is we're going to look at the New Testament, and we're gonna look at three people in particular where the Bible tells us God loved them, God knows their name, but their situation, their circumstance seems to tell you that maybe God doesn't care about them. So how do we reconcile that? If you are going through this season, how do you reconcile that? Hope you can join us in this new series, When God. As we're headed into praise and worship, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're going to begin today by reading a passage from Psalm 24. And then we're going to begin prayer. And then we're going to enter into praise and worship. Psalm 24 says this. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who are in it. For He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, God of Jacob." Let us pray together. God, as we enter into Your presence and we seek You, we first acknowledge that You're the God of creation. You have made everything in it. You are the King and the Lord of the universe. And as we come before You and we enter into Your presence in worship, the psalmist reminds us that question is, well, who can stand in God's presence really? Is those with clean hands and a pure heart and those who don't trust in idols or swear by a false god? And God, we want to confess before You today, honestly, that our hands are not always the most clean. Our hearts are not always the most pure. And there are many times when we would look to idols, look to different gods, and we would follow them, and we would seek pleasure from them, and we would love them more than maybe You. And so God, before we enter into Your presence, we'd like to confess that if it's by our own power, if it's by our own might, if it's on us alone, we can never come before You. But God, the good news is it was never dependent on us in the first place. Because of what Jesus has done, it's never depending on us whether we can be in your presence or not. So God, we desire to encounter you today, not because of us, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We desire to encounter you and to see you. We long to be in your presence. May you bless us with your presence through your words today. Amen. Church, let us worship together.
Nations bow, mountains shake at the sound of just one name. Over all, Jesus reigns, I know. Nations bow, mountains shake at the sound. Just one name over all, Jesus reigns, I know. There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up the shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory.
Deserve every single one. You've given me a million.
still be amazed at what you've done, and I am lost in wonder at all you do. I know you by a thousand names, and I'll sing them back to you.
Church, let's pray together. Yes, Lord, you are rich in love. Yes, Lord, you are slow to anger. Lord, as we gather, as we continue to proclaim all your goodness and faithfulness, so Lord, help us to have an open heart and open mind as we open and study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things that most Christians have in common is we all have seasons in our life where we ask God for something and God just wouldn't do it. In fact, the three words that I think we all had used at some point in our life to describe God are these three words: inattentive, uncooperative, and late. God is inattentive, God is uncooperative, and God sometimes is late. Is there ever a time in your life where you felt like God was either inattentive, uncooperative, or late? And then if God is inattentive, uncooperative, and late for you, somebody might tell you, well, you need to pray more. You need to have more faith. You need to get rid of sin, or you need to do something. At some point in all of our life, we feel like God isn't paying attention. God won't cooperate, or perhaps God is late. So the question is, what do you do when it seems like God is inattentive, uncooperative, or late? Because after a while, our faith gets eroded, and we begin to think that if God is silent, He must be absent. If God is silent, He might be absent. And if God isn't answering my prayer, then there may not be a God. If God isn't engaging in my circumstances, God isn't doing what I need Him to do, then maybe even if there is a God, He's not a God that is ever going to be active in my life. So if God is going to be so silent, maybe, just maybe, God is absent. And there goes our faith, there goes our confidence, and there goes our hope. So here, what we are going to do for the next 3 weeks, we'll be sharing three stories from the New Testament about three men whom God loved. God knew their names, and yet at the same time, they all felt like God was inattentive, uncooperative, and late. And our hope is, after these 3 weeks, we'll all walk away and realize one thing, that we can go through the wilderness, we can go through dry times, we can go through times when we feel distance from God. We can go through times and seasons of life where God is uncooperative, inattentive, and late, and still maintain our faith. So let's start with the first story, with a man named Herod the Great, King Herod the Great. King Herod was the king of Israel. Even though he wasn't a Jewish person, King Herod was the king of Israel because the Rome needed someone to run Israel. And the Romans said, King Herod, you're it. Now he was an awful guy. Just let me go back to the history. We know a little bit about him. He had a bunch of wives. He murdered two of his wives, and he also murdered three of his sons. Pretty scary, eh? Plus, there was the same King Herod, if you still remember the Christmas story, who went into Bethlehem when he heard a king might be born that would conquer his goal and ambition. And he's the one who sends soldiers into Bethlehem to murder the babies in the town. So after this King Herod the Great died, Rome came and decided, let's split up this kingdom because Herod had too much power. And so he split up among two of his sons. And these two sons, along with another son, become a part of this story, today's story. So let's see how it works. The kingdom was split between Herod Archelaus, who got Samaria and Judea in the south. Galilee, where Jesus spent most of his time, was given to Herod Antipas. Those are the two Herod who have land. And now in addition to these two sons, there was a third son whose name is Herod Philip. He was having Herod's favor, but he got nothing. His name is Herod Philip. And although he had authority and although he has extraordinary wealth because of his relationship with King Herod the Great, he didn't actually get anything to rule. The other character in our story that we'll know later on is a niece. Her name is Herodias. Okay, and Herodias actually fell in love with Herod Philip, and they were married and they had a daughter. So that is the first family in the next generation. But well, things got a little crazy because Herod Antipas one day went to visit Herod Philip. And while he was there, he was alone with Herodias, which is his sister-in-law, right? But this Herod Antipas said to Herodias, "Herodias, I don't know how to tell you this. I've fallen in love with my brother's wife. I've fallen in love with you." And to our surprise, Herodias replied Herod Antipas, "Well, honey, I love you too." And they ran off to Galilee together and they got married. A little bit crazy, right? So Herodias divorced her husband, which was a big, big, big scandal at the time. She married Antipas, her husband's brother, and they moved to Galilee. And not only does Herodias got a new husband, she also had a new title, the Queen of Galilee, because she's married to the king who had authority over this area called Galilee. So life is great until the entrance of the new character in our story, whose name was John the Baptist. God has sent John the Baptist into Galilee to preach a very simple message. And the message was, knock it off, knock it off, knock it off. Whatever you are doing wrong, stop doing it. He was a prophet and he just preached repentance. John the Baptist was a hero among the common people because they love John the Baptist. And part of the reason they love him, because he was afraid of nobody. And he would say what was in his mind. Well, the problem was when Herodias moved into the palace with the new King Herod and became his wife, that was against the Jewish law. And John the Baptist began to preach out loud in the public square against this adultery between Herodias and Herod. And after a while, as you can imagine, Herodias and Herod would hate John the Baptist very much. They would get this guy off the street as soon as possible, right? So that's kind of the setup of this story. And what's going to happen? Let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. "For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death." Herodias didn't just want to put John into prison. Herodias wanted John dead. Herodias had a grudge against John and he wanted to put him to death. But the story said, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. So here's the situation. John was called by God to prepare the way of the Messiah, and he had done everything God has asked him to do. As a signpost, he got people ready to recognize Jesus. He had done everything as perfect as he knew how to do it. But now, at this very moment, he is in prison for doing the right thing, for doing the correct things. Now John has some friends, his disciples, who would visit him in prison. And they would give him information and update. And John knew that Jesus was out there healing, doing miracles. Healing lepers, healing people who were filled with demons, touching people that people didn't normally touch. And yet, it seems like in John's mind, Jesus wasn't doing anything for John. And John began to have second thoughts about this Jesus, even though they're supposed to be cousins. And so one day, when his friend, the disciples, are visiting John, John told the disciples, "Hey guys, this is a little bit embarrassing, but I need to send a message to Jesus." And hear what he asked them. I'll show you what he said. "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? If you were one of John's friends, how would you react? Maybe you would ask John, do you really want us to ask this Jesus about this question? Don't you remember, John, you were the one who told us Jesus is the one? Then John would say, I know, but I'm having second thoughts. The friends would then say, John, oh John, you would have heard the stories of what Jesus is doing outside, right? Then John would say, yeah, but I just need some assurance. I really need some assurance. So eventually, the friends would let John know. Okay, John, we'll ask him, this Jesus, if you insist. But for sure, this is a little bit embarrassing. When we ask him, are you the one? Are we waiting or someone else? I think it will be too embarrassing, but we'll try. So now, here's why this is so important to us. Isn't it interesting that when our circumstances take a sudden change, it would impact our confidence in God? A sudden change in environment, a sudden change in circumstances, and there goes your faith. Suddenly, things aren't so good. Perhaps you have gone a long time without a good job. Perhaps you are not meaningfully employed. Or you have got a son or a daughter, and God's not answering your prayer for them. Or perhaps your marriage is anything but a Christian marriage. And we are like John the Baptist. Out of embarrassment, we might say this. I'm embarrassed to confess this, but I need a little help. I need a little word, I need a little assurance, a little shout out. I need to know that everything I grew up believing is not a lie because it is not working for me at this moment. And actually, there's something very self-centered and there's something very selfish about losing faith in God when our circumstances go bad. Let me illustrate it once again. Isn't it interesting that when we see on the news or read about or heard about something as big as tsunami or an earthquake that takes the life of thousands of people across the globe, our response would be, oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And then we pray and give money to those people, but it doesn't shatter our faith in God, right? See, when you go through a hard time, I pray. When I go through a hard time, I doubt. Why is that? Let me put it in this way. I lose faith when God is inattentive to my happiness, not yours. I lose faith when God is inattentive to my happiness, not yours. In other words, when you go through a difficult time, I mean, I'm sorry for you. I'm going to pray, I'm going to do anything I can to help. I'll be there. But I don't go home and just lose my faith over that. So why is that? We are so prone in a season of turmoil and spiritual dryness and inactivity by God when it is our life. Why is it that when it is our life, our faith begins to be ruined? It doesn't make sense, you know, at the macro level, but isn't it true? It just happened, right? And part of it is that in the season of pain, in the season of turmoil, and the season of where life is really, really difficult, we tend to shrink down to the size of us. That our life and our worldview shrink to the size of me, shrink to the size of you. And that may not be a bad thing overall, because you know there's an amount of physical pain that makes you unable to care about the needs of other people. There's a point to where you can be in such incredible physical pain that you're unable to care about anybody but yourself. It is the nature of pain. It strengthens us to the size of us. So consequently, there's John the Baptist. With all this he has seen, with all this he has heard, with all that he knows, and suddenly his world is no bigger than his prison cell. And he began to doubt about God. And that's what makes Jesus respond so incredibly amazing and so incredibly relevant, not in the, just in the Bible, but to all of us. After John's friend finished asking the question about, are you the one, or should they be looking for another one? Here's what Jesus replied. Here's the message he sent back through the disciples to John. When God seems inattentive to our situation, this is what Jesus said. And Jesus replied, go and tell John what you hear and see. Go and tell John what you hear and see. Because John can hear past his prison. Because John can see past his prison. So you've got to go back and you've got to tell him. Tell John what you hear and what you see. You need to go back and report the activity of God outside of his prison cell. John's pain has strung him down to the size of a prison cell. He's no larger than his pain, so of course he's beginning to doubt. And then Jesus listed the things he wanted them to hear and he wanted them to report to John. The blind receive the sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. You can see that a lot of miracle is happening. And Jesus said, that's what I want you to say. You just go tell him that you have heard and what you have seen. So John's friend turned to go. But just imagine this, in this moment, in that particular moment, as they are turning to leave, and Jesus is about to turn back to whatever he was doing, Jesus said, hey, wait, friends, there is one more thing. There's one more thing I want you to tell John. And they pause and they look back, and Jesus said, make sure you tell him this. Don't forget, this is the most important part. One more thing. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me, Jesus said. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What? This is important. Tell John, blessed is anyone who does not stumble or stumble away or fall down or fall out because of me, because of my message. Okay, Jesus, so what are you saying is you might actually do things, you might actually allow things that would cause us to stumble away from you? The friends will ask Jesus, right? And Jesus said, yes, so I want you to make sure you tell John this. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble away from me because of something I've done or I have not done. And John's friend said, okay, so you know he's in prison and he's losing his faith and he's deteriorating and you know about that, right, Jesus? And Jesus replied, yeah, I realize the reason that's happening is because of me, because I have left him in there in the prison. And listen to what Jesus continued to say about John. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. No one greater than John the Baptist. I think he is the greatest guy who has ever lived so far. Wow, that is quite a compliment, right? Then John's friend would ask, but Jesus, you are going to leave him in prison like this? Jesus would then say, yeah, and tell him, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there. Don't lose your faith just because I've chosen not to bail you out of the prison. Wow, that's tough for John, isn't it? John was going to be in prison no matter how much faith he had. John was going to be in prison no matter how obedient he had been. John was going to be in prison because being in prison was part of what God was doing at that moment. Jesus knew it was going to be hard for him to maintain faith in Jesus because Jesus had the power to bail him out, and he chose for whatever reason not to. Now, let me tell you why this is a great news for you and for us this morning. Your personal circumstances do not necessarily coincide with how God feels about you. Your personal circumstances, no matter how bad it is, do not necessarily coincide with how God feels about you. Because like John the Baptist, when we are in the dry season, when we are in the desert, when we are in the wilderness, when God hasn't done anything to us lately, and things seem to be getting worse, we begin to draw the conclusion that, well, my circumstances reflect the way God feels about me, right? But God said, no, they don't. No, they don't. Your personal circumstances do not necessarily coincide with how God feels about you. Don't ever draw that conclusion. And in reality, the real proof how God feels about you, about us, is what happened at the cross. Not what's happening at home, not what's happening at school, not happening at work, not what's not happening in the neighborhood, not what's happening in your love life and also among your kids. Don't make the mistake of hanging and letting your faith hinge on what God has done for you lately. So, what do you do when God is inattentive, God seems to be unavailable, and when God seems to be late? I think if we were to ask Jesus what to do today, I think he would give us the same advice that he gave John in prison. And here is my 2022 updated version of Jesus' advice. When God seems inattentive, look back and remember, and then look outside your circumstances and reflect. Look back and look outside. You look back and you remember, and you look outside your prison wall and reflect on the activity of God in the world. You look back and remember those times when God did come through for you. Because what is happening now doesn't discount the reality of past answer prayer, right? Of that difficult patch you had in your marriage and God came through. When you pray for a child, God came through. When you had a difficult time as a teenager and God revealed himself for the first time to you and it just radically transformed your life. All those past occurrences, all the past interactions with God, it was real, it was true. And you look outside your current prison and you remember, and you take courage from the fact that God was real then, he is real now. He is just not expressing his reality the way that you want him to do now. And then, directly to Jesus' advice, you look outside to the activity of God. Just by nature of the pain and the difficulty we have had, we could be so entrapped in our own circumstances. It is just a reality. It wasn't John the Baptist's fault. In fact, he was in prison for doing the right thing. But even then, Jesus said, you have got to tell John he's got to look outside. He's going to look outside. He's got to catch a glimpse of the activity of God outside his own little world. And if he does, he will remain faithful. He will remain true. And he will maintain his faith. And the fact that, yeah, I'm the one that has been sent from God, and I'm not going to bail him out of the prison. Well, you know the story doesn't end well for John at all. You know how it ends, right? Herod has the birthday party, and Herodias sent her daughter to dance for King Herod and all the friends, all the guests. And after the dance, Herod says to Herodias' daughter, "Look, that was so awesome. I'm going to give you anything that you ask for. Anything you ask for, you can have it, up to half my kingdom." I'm sure he was drunk when he said this, right? And the daughter told the king, "Hold on a second. Let me go back and ask my mom first, and then I'll reply." And the daughter disappeared, and then she find Herodias, and she said, asked her mom, "Hey, mom, the king has said that I can have anything of the half of the kingdom. So what should I ask him for?" And Herodias said, well, this is the moment that Herodias still have the plan, want to have the life of John, right? "You tell him you want John the Baptist's head on a silver platter tonight." Wow, what a request. And because of the drunken party of a king who was pretty much out of control of what he had made a promise, because of his pride in front of his friends, that he didn't want to violate the promise, the king called for the soldier, and they go down into the prison that night, unfortunately, and they behead the cousin of Jesus. And it is not too long after that that some very insecure religious leader doing something similar. They pay to have Jesus betrayed and arrested and tried and mocked and lie about and crucified. And God does nothing to stop it. That was the Good Friday story we all know. But God didn't move one inch off the center of his throne. Because even though it would seem he was inactive, uninvolved, far away, not paying attention, or even late, God was right where God wanted to be. God was right where God wanted to be. And the events unfolded just the way God wanted them to unfold. And no, it wasn't a script that John the Baptist would have written for himself. And at the end of Jesus' life, he actually asked the Father, "Is there any other way? Is there a way out? Is there another way to get through this other than being crucified, other than being put to death for the sin of mankind?" And the Heavenly Father say, "No, that's my plan. That's my plan." Dear church, you see, 2,000 years later, we are still talking about this. 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating about this. 2,000 years later, people's lives continue to be transformed by what seemed to be the inactivity or the inattentiveness of God. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean God is absent. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean God is absent. When God seems inactive, it doesn't mean he's not doing anything. When God seems late, it doesn't mean that God is late. It just means in the midst of all those difficult circumstances, we have got to look back and reflect. And we have got to look outside of our prison wall and reflect of what God is doing all around us. And then, here's the best part of this story. In that interaction between Jesus and John's friend, that were going to take a message back to the prison, I think Jesus also sent us a special message to every follower of Jesus that will live in the first century, that will live in the second, third century, and all the way up to the 21st century. and here's the special message that I'm going to decode for you. This is the thing that we hang everything on. Here's the special message. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of Jesus. Blessed is anyone. And guess who you are? You are one of them, anyone, right? You are the anyone. In other words, in the first century context, he reaches way beyond the first century, way beyond John the Baptist and all his friends, and he speaks directly today to you and me as well. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble away, fall away, losing faith, giving up hope. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of Jesus. Blessed means blessed by God. God is paying attention. He knows your name. He knows your circumstances. And there's a promise at the end of your faithfulness. If you will remain faithful, in spite of what God hasn't done for you lately, in spite of the fact that nothing seems to be changing for you, it is as if God looked through the portals of time and he said, I see your frustration. I see your hopelessness. I see that you are just on the verge of walking away. I see that you are on the verge of giving up, but don't give up on me. Blessed are you when you remain faithful. You refuse to walk away. You refuse to stumble away on account of me. So as we begin this series together, here's what I want you to think about. As things don't change, as God has not honored your prayer, as God has not allowed change to come lately, about how and when you want change to come, you can remain faithful. You can remain faithful. You can wake up every single morning. You can still knowing that God loves you just as much now as He has ever loved you, because your current circumstances are not necessarily a reflection of how God feels about you. If He allows the greatest man, John, who ever lived, to rot away in a dungeon and allow him to be put to death later on, a man who he said was great and he loved with just about all of his heart, as his cousin, as a relative, as his forerunner, you never, 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 ever had to doubt God's love for you, His concern for you, His will for you, and His plan for you. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean that God is absent. Just because God seems silent in this month, 2022, doesn't mean that God is absent. Just because He may seem silent, He's not absent. He's not inattentive. He's not unconcerned. And God is never, ever, ever late. Blessed are all of us who refuse to stumble away on account of Jesus. Church, may I invite you to stand and let's pray together. Dear God, as we stand together as a church, I want to pray for those who feel that you are inattentive. I want to pray for those who feel that you are silent. Lord, help us. Help us this morning to look back and remember your goodness, your faithfulness in our life. Lord, help us to look outside our little box and know that you are in control. Lord, help us to walk by faith and cling to the truth that you are here and you are not silent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's keep standing and receive the benediction. Today, I would like to bless you with the blessing from the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forevermore. Amen. As we conclude our worship this morning, let me remind you to participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. So church, have a blessed week and we'll see you next Saturday as we celebrate communion together.